Well, hello everyone and welcome to week seven of Journey Church Online. And hey, today I want us to be more engaging and have a little more fun together. This should be a great time for our family. So what I'm going to encourage you to do on your Facebook, there's an opportunity for you to respond with some emoji excitement. So you can give a fist pump, you can give thumbs up, you can raise the roof, you can clap hands. So if there's any time in the message where, man, God just moves you, let's just respond accordingly and let's have a great time this morning. Also want to remind you, in just a few minutes, we're going to have communion together. So if you don't have your elements gathered together, one of you needs to sneak out of the room real quick while the rest of you watch it. And hey, you can catch up with it later this week, okay? So anyway, let's be engaged. Let's have a great time. Thank you once again for letting us come into your home. It's such a privilege. It's such an honor. I want to begin today by just sharing with you some housekeeping family matters. And first of all, I just want to remind us, all the way from the beginning, week one, we had this as our theme verse, and I want to keep it in front of us. And that is, Paul is saying, hey guys, make sure you make the most of these opportunities. And all the way from the beginning, we've been saying, hey, let's not waste this time and let's not just say, well, we just hope we can make it through and we're going to binge on TV and just kind of drag our way through. But I want to challenge you, let's make the most of this time. There's some good things that can happen as we're quarantining at home with our family. So let's just go for it. Let's be creative. Maybe do some things we've never done before and let's build that family unit together. So just want to encourage you. Also, I want to just let you know, church family, that we as a church leadership team are doing exactly this. We're making the most of this opportunity that God has given us. It's kind of a weird opportunity. Our doors are shut. No one's coming into the building. But with that being said, that opens up an opportunity for us to do some things to our physical building that we can't really do when there's a lot of traffic going in and out of the building throughout the week. So I just want to let you know, there are improvements that are occurring right in our building. There's some changes that you'll surely notice when you come back. But I want to let you know, we have a team of excited people that are saying, yeah, let's go for it. And there's some wonderful, wonderful things happening. And because here's the deal, here's my heart, and that is this. We're not a church that's interested in going back to normal. We don't want to go back to normal, but our heart is that we're interested in creating a new normal. Meaning when we come back, we're going to do some things like we've never done before, and we want you to be a part of it. We are super excited about the new normal that God has for us. So keep us in your prayers as we continue to go forward, make decisions. And one of the biggest new normals we want to have, sure, we want to change the building on the inside, but we want to do a better job at making disciples because we believe that's God's heart. That's the heart of Jesus, that we all become disciples of Jesus. But with all that said, I just want to also say this. As the pastor of Journey Church, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your faithful giving. I want to let you know as I'm being updated with the giving and what's going on and they're telling me what's happened in the month, I'm just super excited about, hey, church, we are doing an amazing job of giving and I'm just so grateful for your faithfulness. And maybe you're out there right now and you're in a position where you can't give because maybe some things have shifted in your financial life. I just want to encourage you that we're praying for you. And if you do have a need, please contact me. We'll see what we can do to help you out. So church, we're in this together and we're going to make it through this together. We are family. So let's encourage one another. And I also just want to say this. Let's just make sure we're reaching out to two or three people every week. Two or three people from our church family checking in, seeing how things are going, okay? So that would be awesome. Well, let's dive into today's message. I think we have a good word from God, a good challenge for you. So let's dive in as we continue this series called Joy in Difficult Times. And by the way, as you well know, our focus for this collection of talks is the New Testament book of Philippians, which is a four-chapter letter written by Paul, formerly known as the artist Saul. And what he's doing is he's writing to a group of people who were surely facing some difficult times. And the reason why they're facing difficult times is because they're being persecuted for their faith in Jesus. Life is being made difficult, all because they've said yes to Jesus. And I thought about it. What would Paul write to a group of people like that? And it may surprise you, but the theme that he wants to write to these people about is this. He wants to tell them about joy. And it's amazing in these four short chapters, Paul uses this letter or this word joy or one form of this word joy 16 different times. And I think the reason why he's doing this is because Paul has an understanding of something super duper important. And it's something that we need to understand, and that is this, that our joy is not contingent upon what's going on around us. It's not contingent about outward circumstances, but our joy is something that is an inward job. There's something that goes on inside of us, and I just want to encourage you. I know some of the things on the outside don't look real promising, and there's some real challenges, but I want to let you know that joy is an inside job. It's something that's done in our heart. So no matter what's going on around us, we can still have joy. And that's what Paul wanted them to know. I believe that's what he would want us to know, even in the year 2020, that you can have joy regardless. And man, how relevant of a message is that? That's incredible. So what we did 2 weeks ago, we kicked off this whole series, and we discovered that one of the biggest keys to having challenge in or joy in challenging times is this, that we got to work on enjoying the people closest to us. We got to enjoy those people that we're calling in our quarantine huddle. Folks, they are not the enemy. They're our family. And we need to just use this as an opportunity to strengthen our family relationships. And what a great time as we're asked to stay at home to make those relationships stronger. And as they get stronger, I guarantee you, you're going to experience more joy. Then last week, if you were with us, we said, if we're going to have joy in difficult times, here's something you're going to have to decide, and that is that you're going to have to choose to have the right attitude. Choose to have the right attitude. And you say, Mike, why is attitude so important? Because I love what Zig Ziglar said years ago. And why is attitude so important? Because it says here, Zig Ziglar says, attitude determines our altitude. I love that. Just say that one more time. Attitude determines our altitude. I know that's super cheesy. I hear it all the time, cheesy quote. But I also want to let you know, yes, it's still true. And that is our attitude is going to determine in this season how high we're able to go. But also our attitude, if we're not on our game, it's going to determine how low we go. And here's the deal, all of us. We need to understand this each and every day, sometimes multiple times a day. We need to understand that this is our choice. It's the choice that we need to make, that we're going to have the right attitude. We're going to have that because Jesus gives us strength to do that. So today what I want to do in week three of this series is I want to look at a third key of how we can experience joy in difficult times. And here's what I want to do. I didn't want to give you a churchy word, and I wanted to be a little creative, so here's what I came up with. If we're going to have joy in difficult times, we're going to have the ability to live what I'm calling a countercultural life, a countercultural life. And I'll explain what that means in just a minute. But before we do, what I want to do is I want us to open up God's word together this morning. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the book of Philippians. That's our go-to book for this series. And today we're going to look at Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up in verse 6. And we're going to read through verse 11. But before I read this, I just want to let you know something about this little passage of Scripture. It's often referred to in literature as Christ hymn, meaning this. It is believed that these were words that were actually sung by the early Christian church. So they would get a beat going, they would get the music going, and they would begin to sing these words that we're about to read today. And what these words did is they told the story of Jesus, and they told them, the listener, as they were singing, they would understand that Jesus, most of all and above all else, was a servant. And that's what we see here in Christ hymn. So let's look at the text, remembering, describing who Jesus is, a servant. Picking up verse 6, it says, though he was God, referring to Jesus. I love this. He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Verse 7, instead, he gave up his divine privileges, and he took the humble position of a slave and was born of a human being. Verse 8, Paul writes, and when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. Let's remember that, in obedience to God. And he died a criminal's death on a cross. In verse 9, it says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor, and he gave him the name above all names, verse 10, that at the that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth. In verse 11, it says, in every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can we bow our heads right where we're at this morning? Let's just agree in prayer that God will speak to us through his word today. So, Father, we just come to you. We thank you for time together. Even though we're in different locations, we're still together in spirit. And, Lord, I know that we're practicing social distancing, but we refuse to practice spiritual distancing. Lord, we want to grow spiritually. We want to grow closer to you than ever before in this season. This is a great season to get closer to you. So, God, I pray that you would soften our hearts, that you would open our minds to the scripture, so that today we can leave this time and we're not going to be forgetful hearers, but we're going to be doers of your word, because it's doers, you guys, that are blessed by God. So let's take a look at this together. And all God's people said, amen. All right. Thank you for that response, that emoji response. By the way, just a few minutes ago, I said that one of the keys to living this joy-filled life, even in difficulties, is that we got to be able to live this countercultural life, okay? So let's just take a few minutes to unpack that, see what that's all about. So what does it mean to live a countercultural life? Look at the definition. It's on the screen for you. To live counterculture is to live with a set of attitudes. It starts with your attitude, and it goes into your behaviors. You're going to have this set of attitudes and behaviors that are opposed to the social norm, meaning it's going to be the opposite of the social norm. For example, let me give you a great example, and I have a physical illustration here to help you out, a visual illustration, and that is the social norm of today says that if you want to be successful, if you want to be a person that's important, if you want to be great, if you want to have power, here's what you got to do. If you want to be that type of person, you got to be willing to climb the ladder. And Chris, I'm going above the screen here. You got to be willing to climb the ladder of what we call success. Climb the ladder of success, believing that if we'll do that, we'll be a person that's happy, meaning that the higher we go, the better it will be, okay? Or the higher we climb, the greater that will be. And the higher we climb, we'll separate ourselves from the status quo crowd and we'll stand out. That's what the world says. That's what our culture says today. That's what our society says. To be great, you got to climb the ladder. You got to go high as you can. You got to reach for the stars. You're going to go places you've never been before. But here's the deal, you guys. Here's the deal. What if I told you the opposite is true in the kingdom of God? The total opposite is true in God's kingdom. Because we need to understand God's kingdom is what we could call today a countercultural kingdom. It's totally different than the world. And what do I mean? I mean this, in God's kingdom, guys, if you want to be great, if you want to experience joy, then we need to be willing to do just the opposite. See, the world says you got to climb the ladder to be great. We'll see you later. But in God's kingdom, he says you got to be willing to come down the ladder. You got to be willing to go down the ladder. Why? So that you can come down and serve other people. That's what it's all about, to serve other people. Because, folks, if you really want to know where the joy is coming down and humbling yourself and serving others. And that's exactly what we saw today in verses 6 through 8. So let's look at 6 through 8 again. I love these verses. Been reading them all week. They're so good. Let's look at verse 6. It says, though he was God, referring to Jesus, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. So what we see here is that before Jesus came to this planet, we need to understand that he existed in the form of God. He was God. That's what we read in John 1. That's what we read in Colossians 1, that Jesus was the creator. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. It's right there in the scriptures. We need to understand that Jesus isn't this junior partner, little less than God, but we need to understand that he is a full-fledged member of the Godhead. We believe here that God is this triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. Try to figure that out. You won't be able to. It's so mind-boggling. But here's the deal. Jesus had equal status with the Father. And the cool thing is he didn't take it and use it for his advantage and go off and do his agenda and do his thing, but he willingly released his personal rights to come down. Then look at verse 7. I love this. It says, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He had privileges as God, but he gave them up, and he took the humble position of a slave. A slave. You see that, folks? He didn't come climbing the ladder. He came to take the position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. So Jesus gave up his divine privileges. He came to earth where he took the lowest possible position he could take in that day's culture, and that is that he became a servant. He became a slave. I want to let you know, Jesus went as low as he could possibly go. He couldn't go any lower. He went to the lowest possible place. He became a servant. It reminds me of a game that I've seen played several times. I may have participated maybe once or twice. Have you heard about it before? It's called the Limbo. Here's how the Limbo is played. You got two people, they're holding a stick. The music begins to play. Everybody that wants to play the game, they line up, and the stick may start at a certain level. Everybody goes through. Everybody that made it through, now they lower the level. Everybody makes, they keep lowering the level until it's finally just one person who was able to go as low as they could possibly go. By the way, that was a young person, okay? They were probably about 15 years old. But anyway, that's the Limbo. Went as low as they could possibly go. And that's what Jesus did, you guys. Jesus went to the lowest place. There was not a lower place. He came as God. He came and he was a servant. He came to this earth. And I was thinking this week, how could we possibly, what's the comparison? What can I compare that to? And what can I relate that to that you might understand? And I was thinking about it early one morning this week, and I thought of, and I Googled this question, who's the richest person on in America? And you can take your guess right now in the room, in your living room, who's the richest person? If you said Jeff Bezos from CEO of Amazon, you are correct. I Googled it later this week. He is worth 149, not million, he's worth 149 billion dollars. He's the wealthiest person in the world. And by the way, Jeff, if you're listening again this week, you can just send that check. Just, we don't want much. Just send a check to Journey Church. We'll take it. But anyway, how many people know Jeff's not our provider? God is, but God, if you choose to use Jeff, we're all in. Let's go for it. But anyway, Jeff Bezos, the wealthiest man in the world. And here's what I discovered about Jeff. He has a son, and his son's name is Preston. Preston. He's 20 years old, and what would you think if Preston one day went into Jeff's office and he said, Dad, here's what I want to do. I want to leave all those riches behind, all the prestige, all the notoriety, all the things that come with wealth. Dad, I want to leave those things behind, and what I want to do is I want to go to the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And by the way, just for your information, that's the poorest country in the world. What if Preston said to Jeff, Dad, I want to go to the poorest place, and his dad said, why? He said, because I want to go serve those people. I want to go there, and I want to live among those people. How do you think his dad would respond? I don't know how I would respond. I would think that was super noble. That would definitely be a noble act that Preston wanted to carry out. But I want to let you folks know this morning. That would not even scratch the surface of what Jesus did when he climbed down the ladder in order to be with you, with me, with us. That's why I love what every Christmas we talk about Emmanuel. Emmanuel, what does that mean? That means God with us. That means that Jesus left the highest place to be with us, to identify with us, to be in our crowd, to be in our pain, to be wherever we're at. He's with us. But the story doesn't end there. Look at verse 8. It says, when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. What does that mean? That means God had a plan for his life. What was God's plan for the life of his son, the cross? So we see that he humbled himself to God and he died a criminal's death. He died a criminal's death on the cross. And I love that because not only do we see that Jesus came down, he climbed down the ladder, He climbed down to the lowest place. Not only did that, he came down and he came and he went to the lowest place, but he also went the distance. And he was obedient to his father's will for his life. And he went the distance and he died a criminal's death on a cross. And why did he do that? Because there's a sin issue that needed to be taken care of. And Jesus paid the price for our sin. And if we ask for forgiveness of our sins, how many people now know that we can have peace with God? All because Jesus came down and fulfilled the will of his Father. And I love that. So what we see in these verses is that Jesus didn't ascend to a higher place so that everybody would say, whoa, Jesus. But Jesus climbed down the ladder in order to do one thing, in order to serve and to give his life for us. But here's the cool thing, guys. Here's the second part. Here's the, as Paul Harvey would say, here's the rest of the story. Let's read it. Verses 9, 10, and 11. It says, therefore, Paul writes, therefore, because of what Jesus did, because he came down, it says, therefore, God elevated him to the place, the highest place of honor. And he gave him the name that's what? Above all names. And let's look at verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on the earth, that's us, and under the earth. And check this out, verse 11, that every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So hear the story, guys, once again. Jesus came down the ladder. He went to the lowest possible place. He did what God called him to do. And as a result, what God did is he took and elevated and gave Jesus the highest name, the highest place of honor. Do you see what's happening? Because Jesus came down, God was able to elevate. And I don't want us to miss here, because here's what I want you to take home with you today and unpack in your personal life. And that is that in the life of Jesus, we learn this lesson. And the lesson we learn is this, and I want you to hear me, the way up is down. We think the way up is I got to keep climbing the ladder of success. I got to keep going. I got to go as high as I can possibly go. But the real lesson is if we want to go up, first of all, we need to come down. We need to come down. We need to come and serve. And the way to experience joy is not accomplished by climbing the ladder of success. The way to true joy and the way to true fulfillment that you're seeking and searching for is by climbing down the ladder and going to wherever God has placed you so you can go to those places, and not that you elevate yourself, but you go to those places so that you can serve other people. And I just want to encourage you, wherever God has placed you today, begin right there. Begin to serve your spouse. Begin to serve your family. Begin to serve the people in your quarantine circle. Begin to serve the people in your workplace. Begin to follow the example and decide that you're going to come down the ladder. You're going to come down and you're going to be a servant just like Jesus. You know, it reminds me of a couple stories real quick. It reminds me of a group of guys who just a few months back, they gathered here at the church and they went over to a home of a single mother. Why? To help her to move all of her belongings. She didn't have much help and it was time to move. And they showed up and they were going to help her move her belongings from her residence right here in River Falls to her new residence that was going to be in St. Paul. So a 30-minute distance. So they're loading all of her belongings into their vehicles. They're loading up as much as they possibly can, and they're loading everything up, and they're taking her stuff to St. Paul, to her new house. And throughout this process, there was several times she expressed how blown away she was. She was blown away by the fact that there was total strangers, people who have never met her before, that they were willing to do such a thing, that they were willing to serve with no connection, with no strings attached. And to her, that wasn't normal. It wasn't normal behavior, but here's the deal, guys. She was right. It wasn't normal. It was counterculture. It reminds me of another story. I think of our Wednesday night program here at Journey Church. And I think of the kids that come in from a lot of unchurched kids coming into our building. And do you know what makes that possible? Because there's quite a handful of adults that they understand the countercultural way of living. They understand that it's in coming down and serving that they receive the blessing. And I think of all the people that work hard all day and they grind it out and they work long hours, but they make sure that they're here to show up in the kitchen, to show up in the classrooms, to show up in driving our in our transportation. They show up week after week. That's not normal. That's what we call being countercultural. That's what I call being countercultural. They understand something different than what culture teaches. See, culture says, hey, forget those people. You climb the ladder. You go as high as you can possibly go. And Jesus would say, no, you need to come down. You need to come down to a lower place, and you need to take that position of a servant, of a servant. But guys, here's the secret. Here's the secret that these people have discovered, and that is that countercultural behavior often brings joy. Meaning, if you're doing it for the right reason, you're doing it with the right heart, where you're not making it about you, but you're making it about others. You're doing it for Jesus. That's going to be the result. You're going to experience joy as you come down to the lowest place, as you come down to serve. So here's my closing question this afternoon is this. Are you looking for joy? And some of us would say yes, but here's the deal, folks. We often look for joy in all the wrong places. And that is because we listen to society. We listen to the culture. We listen to the people say, you got to climb the ladder. And I want to let you know, joy is not going to be found in climbing the ladder to the highest heights so you can be called great. I want to let you know, joy will be found when you come down to the lowest place and you become a servant and you begin to serve because you want to be more like Jesus, because you want to help meet people's needs. So I just want to pray today that we will not just be forgetful hearers of this word this morning, but my prayer is that we'll go out and live this, that we'll have eyes to see opportunities, ears to hear of opportunities, and to respond to them by coming down and serving and being like Jesus. Being Jesus, I like to say, being Jesus with skin on, meeting real needs, helping real people. So Lord, we just pray today that we will become more like you, and that we'll begin to realize that the way up is actually coming down. It's when we come down and we serve others that we get elevated by you, Father, and we come to this place where you give joy and you give peace and you give life. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you would speak to our congregation in this time of difficulty, in this time of challenge and uncertainty, that we're not looking for what people can do for us. But Lord, may we take a different stance. And may our posture be that we're going to begin to look in ways that we can help other people and come down and serve other people. It may be right in our home that we need to begin to come down and serve. It may be some of us have the opportunity to still go to work. Lord, may we go and serve. Lord, it's all about coming down, not going up. So Lord, help us to live countercultural. And Lord, help us to stop listening to society that says, climb the ladder, go higher, you'll be greater. But Lord, help us to be people who will come down as Jesus came down, and we'll come down and we'll serve. And Lord, it's in that serving, God, that you elevate us to a higher place and you give us joy. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen. Well, let's just transition real quick this morning. Thank you once again for allowing us to come into your home. We want to just come to the table of the Lord. And it's so cool that we can do that right where we're at. I certainly miss the times where people would come down the aisles and receive the elements. I love that as a church family, but this is really cool too. This is cool that you can do this right in your home. We can do it together. So I want you to get your elements prepared, and I want to read some scriptures this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writes, "For I pass unto you what I received from the Lord himself, that on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus, he took some bread." Let's take that element. He took some bread, and he gave God thanks for it. And he broke that bread into pieces, and he said this. He said, "This is my body. And this is the body that I give for you. Do this to remember me." Jesus saying, I came down. I lowered myself. I obeyed the will of the Father. I gave my life on a cross. My life was broken. And let's just give thanks to Jesus that he came down and obeyed the will of his Father and died on the cross. Let's partake of the element that represents the body of Christ. Verse 25, Paul says, in the same way, he took the cup of wine. So just imagine Jesus with his disciples. He takes a cup of wine after supper and he says, hey, this cup is the new covenant, meaning the new agreement between God and his people. I love the new agreement. Sins can be forgiven through the blood of Christ. It's an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink. So let's take the element that represents the blood of Christ, the blood that was poured out when he came down, the blood that was poured out when he obeyed God and gave his life on the cross. Folks, that's our lifeline. That's our hope. And our hope is in the fact that Jesus poured out his blood so that our sins can be forgiven. And if you've never asked for forgiveness of sin, make this the day where you say, Jesus, even now say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I turn and I put my faith in you. You're my Savior. You're my only hope. So Lord, help me. I say I'm sorry. Let's partake of the element together and give thanks. Amen. Folks, isn't it great to be a part of the family of God? Chris, isn't it great to be part of the family of God? Chris is giving emoji shout out, so everybody else join us. Go out and make it your ambition this week that you're not worried about climbing the ladder, but this week I just want you to begin to think of ways that you can come down the ladder and how you can serve other people and let the light of Christ shine through you. God bless you. Have an amazing week. We'll see you next weekend. Bye-bye.